distinction between two different kinds of sin. Now, there is a sin of unbelief. And the sin of unbelief is the unforgivable sin. In other words, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the unforgivable sin. That's the sin unto death. That's the sin unto eternal separation from God. And the scriptures indicate you shouldn't pray for that sin. And what it means when it says that is you shouldn't pray, "Lord, let them go to heaven anyway," without repenting of their sins. Now, there is a sin unto death. And the sin unto death is a sin that means you're under the condemnation of God for sin. And I was born under the condemnation of God for sin. And had I reached the age of accountability when God's Holy Spirit deemed that I could make a decision one way or the other, mental accountability, up until that time I was what you call safe. And I wouldn't have gone to hell had I died. But once you pass that age of accountability where the Holy Spirit, and he's the only one who can make that assessment, determines that you can either accept Christ or reject him. You've got to make a choice and you've got to make a decision. If you don't choose Christ as your Savior, if you don't repent of your sins and turn to Christ, and you die in unbelief, then you experience eternal separation from God, which is spiritual death. Now, there's a difference between physical death and spiritual death. And when you get over in 1 John, it's tricky, very tricky. Because John, when he wrote this epistle, wrote it, and a lot of the times he's referring to spiritual death and eternal separation from God. And other times he's just talking about sin in general. So I sent this young man back a bunch of material, and he sent back thanking me for it. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, if I just said, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, period," then I would have to say, well, I'm headed straight for hell. Because I do sin. I do have bad thoughts. And my flesh is corrupt. So I would go straight to hell if that was the whole Bible. But in this same epistle that John wrote, back in the first chapter, he said, "If we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity." So we do sin. And we do sin after we're saved. That word "for" is because. That's what "for" means. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Then he tells you why. "For his seed remaineth in him." And the seed of God is Jesus Christ. And it's the new birth. And when you're born again, a sinless seed, Jesus Christ, the very spirit of Christ himself, comes to live in you. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, when I got saved, it would have been really nice if I had woke up the next day and had been perfect from the top of my head to the tip of my toes, and my soul had been completely cleansed of all sin, and my flesh had been completely cleansed of all sin, and I was just one great big bundle of perfect love and never had a bad thought and never sinned, and was just one big bundle of happy love and enthusiasm and never had an evil thought or never had any depression or was never unhappy. That would be very wonderful. But that isn't the way God works. God saves your soul. He seals it. Christ comes to live alongside it. And because Christ is in you, there is a sin that God will not impute to you. It's any sin. Any sin that would put you back under his condemnation. There is no sin that I can ever commit that will ever put me back under the condemnation of God. No matter what I do, God will not impute sin to me that would put me back under his condemnation and send me to hell. Why? because I'm born of God. Now, in 1 John 3 and 4, we're told, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For the law for sin is the transgression of the law. Okay, sin is the transgression of the law. So what's the law? Jesus summarized it. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy might and all thy soul and thy neighbor as thyself. So if I don't love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my mind and all my soul and my neighbor as much as I do myself, I have transgressed the law. And I've sinned. But there's a big problem. And it's a wonderful problem, because it isn't a problem. I'm no longer under the law. Jesus took the law and nailed it to the cross. I am set free from the penalty of eternal damnation for not being able to keep the law. Now, I'm not set free from the ability to sin, and I'm not set free where I never sin anymore, but I have been set free from the condemnation that was upon me because I did not measure up to God's standard of righteousness, which is what the law is. But Jesus did. And the law was nailed to the cross with him. My sins were nailed to the cross with him. He took my sins in his own body on the tree and buried those sins with him. God resurrected him from the dead. I am not under the law. That's a hard thing to get across to some Baptist preachers. They seem to feel like that after you get saved, if you don't do this and you don't do that, sure, there's something wrong with you. Then salvation is not by grace. And it is by grace. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law. Well, if I'm not under the law, and sin is the transgression of the law, then I cannot commit sin that would send me to hell because I do not keep the law. I've really been set free. A lot of people say, oh, if you were set that free, you'd sin all the time. No, I sin less because my master set me free. And I make an honest effort not to sin. But when I sin, and I do, I have an advocate with the Father, and if I'm faithful and just to confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I'm under grace. The sin doesn't have any more dominion over me. You say, well, if sin didn't have any more dominion over you, you wouldn't sin. No, no. It doesn't control my life anymore. Before I was saved, everything I did was sin. You say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. You mean to tell me that you think before I got saved, everything I did was sin? Well, it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what God thinks. You say, well, I like to feed little puppy dogs that were hungry. And I loved my mother and my father. And I was a pretty good boy. And I tried to please my teachers, and I tried to be a good wife to my husband. You love them because they love you. And because little puppy dogs will lick your hand, and you get a certain type of human pleasure out of seeing it. Is that bad? Oh, no. But it's not God's category of good. Because God classifies something good when you do something that is totally and completely and utterly for somebody else and does you no good whatsoever in any way. Wouldn't you say that was what Jesus did on the cross? That's God's love, and that's God's mercy. A lot of people never do understand this, and this young preacher was having a hard time with it. I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. And some people automatically think, well, if you're under grace and you're not under the law anymore, you don't have to keep God's commandments, you can do anything you want. Yes, I can, but I won't. Because he loved me and gave himself for me. Loving him is a much stronger incentive to try and obey the commandments of God than a fear of him sending me to hell if I make one slip. I'm free. Now, you're going to have to make up your own mind on this. And if you want to stay under that burden of the law and keep trying to keep it after you're saved, go ahead. But you're wasting God's time and you're wasting your own. Romans 6:18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. That's what I am. I'm not a servant of sin anymore. I'm a servant of righteousness. You say, well, when you sin, then you're not a servant of righteousness. I know. But if I'm faithful and just to confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me my sins, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And you may say, well, do you mean to tell me that when you do that, you think that you can just go ahead and everything's forgotten? Yeah. That's grace. That's mercy. That's God's form of mercy. A lot of people never understand this. A lot of people grow up in churches. Even after they get saved, they're scared to death and going to hell. They worship God out of fear, not out of love, not out of compassion, not out of thanksgiving for what he's done for them. They never do understand this. 1 John 1:8-9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his sin remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So if a man comes to me and says, I'm born of God, I don't commit sin anymore, I'm not a sinner. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And don't get the idea, whatever you do, that if I'm driving down the road and I'm having a real evil fantasy and I swerve off the road and hit a tree and am killed before I confess it, that I'm going to hell. That may make a lot of sense to you, and it may seem righteous and just to you, but that's not the way God looks at it. When Christ was on the cross, he paid the price for all my sins forever, and all my sins were future, and I'm going to heaven. Do I mean to imply that God loves sin and God wants me to sin and that I should sin a lot because I'm set free? God forbid. But God forbid that people do not understand grace, because grace means that God has forgiven me of any sin that I could ever commit that would put me back under the condemnation of God and would send me to hell after Christ has come to live in me and after I have been born from above. For Christ remains in me. And as long as he's in me, I'm fine. And he is not in the habit of hopping out, because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. 1 John 3:5-7. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, plural. And in him is no sin. And don't give me this old business. Yeah, I know I was a sinner and I was a bad sinner and I got saved. But now after I got saved and Christ came to live in me, I'm not allowed to sin anymore. I can't sin anymore, and if I sin anymore, I'll go to hell. You're in a worse shape than you were before you ever got saved. Now you're absolutely miserable and uncertain of your confidence in Christ. Either you have confidence in what he did on the cross, either you believe his blood was enough, either you believe his sacrifice was enough, either you believe he kept all the law for you ever jot and tittle of it, so you could be set free and so God could take you to heaven by Jesus imputing his righteousness to you, or you don't know what grace is. Because you're still trying to hang on to some of your own self-righteousness and put a little bit of your own righteousness in the Lord's. And you don't have any except what he gave you. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. You say, well, if you don't abide in him, you're a sinner. I abide in him. He abides in me. I sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians says so. He said he'd never cast me out. And I know he won't cast me out because I believe his word. So I abide in him. You say, but you just told us you were a sinner. I never commit a sin that will send me to hell. I never commit a sin that would remove me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And if you do, maybe you've never seen him. Maybe you don't know him. Maybe you just think you do. Maybe you've gone through life trying to add something to what he's already done. And sure, you've tried to live a good life, well, so do I. And you've tried to live a good life so you could add a little bit to what he did. You're supposed to live a good life because he's in you and you respond to him and you follow him and you don't take credit for it, because if you do, you're self-righteous. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. See that he? That's Jesus. He's the seed that lives in every believer. He's the seed that allows God not to impute sin, but to impute righteousness. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, Christ, is righteous. You think I could do a righteous act? You think I could perform righteous service? You think I could be classified as doing a righteous act or actually perform one if I didn't have Christ in me? You think I've ever done anything righteous of myself, my soul, or my flesh? No, it's always been Christ. And my soul responds to him, but it's Christ that does the work. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So yes, I'm a righteous man. The Pharisees and scribes thought they were righteous because they went to synagogue all the time, because they gave tithes and offerings, and they tried to follow every jot and tittle of the law. Right now, across this land, you've got countless buildings filled with people that are sitting there thinking that they're doing righteousness, and they're sitting there because they're supposed to be in church, and they think that being in church makes them righteous, and if they don't go to church, they're not righteous, and if they don't do this and they don't do that, they're not righteous. The only reason I'm righteous is because Christ is in me. Yeah, I'm over here preaching and teaching. Yeah, I'm a member of this church. Yeah, I believe in the Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Yes, I've been saved. Yes, I've been scripturally baptized. But I don't have one whit of righteousness except the one who lives in me. And because he's righteous, I do righteousness. I do some of the things that I do that God accepts now. But when I was saved, God didn't accept. I did a lot of things that God didn't accept before I got saved. I was kind to my mother. I was kind to my grandparents. I was kind to my friends. I did a lot of things, the same things I do now. But they weren't righteous. Why? Because I didn't have Jesus living inside me. And God only considers righteous what you do in response to his Son. It's called amazing grace. He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. 1 John 2 and 9. If ye know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Isn't that what I just said? Isn't that what that means? If you know that he is righteous, and I know he is, he's the only righteous man who ever lived. He's the only good man who ever lived. The Bible indicates that. He told a rich young ruler, when the rich young ruler came to him and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He called him good master. He said, why callest thou me good? There is none good save the Father. And it was the Father in him and all his fullness in the body of Christ that Christ identified as being good. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. If you haven't been born of him, you can't do righteousness. If you haven't repented of your sins and trusted in Jesus and asked him to save you, he doesn't live in you. And if he isn't in you to perform the acts, God does not receive them as righteous. That's why right now across this land we've got thousands and millions perhaps of church buildings across this land where they are sitting there in church trying to worship God. They may lift up holy hands, they may scream and shout and do a multiplicity of different things. But if they don't have Jesus living inside them, and they're doing these things because they think God's going to honor them for having done it, and they've praised him long enough and hard enough and worked for him decently enough, and maybe, just maybe, if anybody makes it, they think, maybe I will. No! Only Christ made it. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. 1 John 2:27. When you talk about whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. You know what that anointing is? It's the anointed one. That's what Messiah was. That's what Christ means, the anointed one. But the anointing which you have received of him, that's the new birth, abideth in you. I don't have to worry about him jumping out. And you need not that any man teach you. He teaches you. He teaches you by His Spirit from the Word. He left for that purpose. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, now notice, ye shall abide in Him. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. He that committeth sin is of the devil. He is. You know why he's of the devil? Because Jesus doesn't live in him. Jesus doesn't live in her. And every person that doesn't have Jesus doesn't belong to God and doesn't belong to Jesus. They belong to the devil. And it makes them mad. They don't like it. But it's not God's fault. All they have to do is repent of their sins and turn to God, turn to Christ, and He saves them. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Now the question is, did He destroy the works of the devil, or didn't He? If He didn't destroy the works of the devil, then none of us are going to heaven. If He didn't completely defeat the devil at the cross, if His blood and His body and His sacrifice and His offering, if they weren't enough, and if God didn't consider that the victory and didn't give His Son full and complete authority as a man, the only man, whoever kept every jot and tittle of the law and whoever shed precious sinless blood for all of our sins, if He didn't destroy the works of the devil, then we're all of the devil. But He did. Romans 4:8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I've got a couple more sheets here, but it's 7 o'clock. Now, does the Bible mean what it says, or does it say what it means? I'm 71 years old. I have bad thoughts. I'm sinful in the flesh. I've been that way ever since I was saved. But I don't care what I would have done, no matter what it was, God would not impute sin to me that would ever separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Now, some of these preachers and some of these other churches that teach you've got to keep on keeping on, and if you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't do this, you're hell bound. And when it comes time to preach the funeral of some of their members, and they sat there all those years and listened to that and came to church because they were scared to death of going to hell, and they kept right on coming, they kept right on giving, they kept right on taking communion every week, and they worked themselves into a frenzy, and they did everything they knew how to praise God. From a human standpoint, you might say, well, it looks to me like God let them in. They did everything they could to please God. But nothing ever pleased God and completely was the full propitiation, the full offering for sin, except that perfect, sinless blood of His only begotten Son that trickled down the cross for my sins. And that perfect, sinless body that He formed in Mary's womb, and in whom God dwelt in all His fullness for some 30 years as He traveled on this earth. And then God allowed His Son to take my sins in His own body on the tree. If Christ had not done that, I could never be righteous. I could never worship God. I could never serve God. I could never please God. But now I can. I sin, and when I do, I confess my sin, and God forgives me. But nothing keeps me from serving, because I know Him. And I know I owe Him a debt that I can never repay. And here's the beauty of it. He doesn't want me to repay it. He said, it's yours, Tom. I love you. I've saved you. You're mine. For better or for worse, you're mine. Now, if you can't serve that God, then he's the only one. You'll never find any satisfaction or any joy in trying to please God. The way you please God is the way Paul testified. He said, testifying both to the Jew and to the Greek, repentance toward God. That means you're walking along through life, you don't have Christ, and you're facing eternal damnation for your sins. And suddenly you turn. Paul said, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God. It means you turn in your heart. And you acknowledge to God in your heart, Lord, I've sinned. I want your Son as my Savior. And you come to him believing that he alone can save you from eternal damnation in hell. The scriptures promise you he will. He's the only righteousness I have. And he's the only reason God will not impute any sin to me that would ever separate me from the love that's in him. I hope tonight you can say, I know him. I know him. He's in me and I'm in him. And I know where I'm going. I hope you can say that. If you can, it's because you know Jesus. And it's a whole lot easier to serve a master who died for you than one who wants to send you to hell. As the lights are turned on, as the song leader and the pianist come, we're only going to have one stanza of invitation, then we're going to close. I'm very thankful.